Amen. Amen. As we dismiss our children to children's church, I ask that you find your Bible, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Those fifth grade and below. One quick word of announcement that I neglected to mention a moment ago. Next Sunday night, our youth will start meeting at 5:30. We'll have a Bible study time. Instead of being out here in the sanctuary with us, they're going to have a Bible study with Casey and Andrew leading that. So please mark that on your calendar, youth, as they do this for a period of time at least. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verses 17 through 20. Verses 17 through 20. I ask, if you will, to stand and honor reading God's word this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. They read like this. Don't assume that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For I assure you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all things are accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches people to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 24, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Father, for your word. I pray, Lord, you'd hide me behind the cross. Father, may it be you and you alone, the one that's seen and heard. Father, fill me with your presence. Give me the words to speak. May I speak your word with truth, with integrity. May your name be honored. May your name be glorified. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we continue through our sermon series of the Sermon on the Mount, last week we had the, I won't say an interruption, but it was a blessing last week, if you will. So we stopped and went to a different set of scriptures. So today we're going to continue forward as we move through the Sermon on the Mount sermon series. Again, this is just like the third message as we continue through chapter 7 over the next few weeks that lie ahead. But I want us to kind of bring our attention, if you will, to some of the things that are shared with us here in these scriptures. And I want to ask us this morning the question, do I fail or fulfill God's law? Do I fail or fulfill God's law? So the big question, that is it. The next secondary question I want to ask, so how do I fulfill God's law? How do I fulfill God's law? Now, the Sunday school answer, if you will, is Jesus. We're obedient to Jesus. We follow Jesus. But there's some instructions, I think, that are given within our text that we need to look at, and we look at very closely. You see, too often, as we see there towards the end of these passages of Scriptures, we look at people, and we get the thoughts in our minds that we can read people. We think, well, that person is doing well. They're successful. They must be doing what God wants them to do. Or that person's struggling. That person's going through this. Or that person's mannerisms look as if they are struggling with something. Or someone looks as if they're... You can't judge a book by its cover is what I'm trying to say. And that's exactly what took place in the scribes and the Pharisees. They looked and had one perception. But as we move through our scriptures this morning, we'll see they were actually deceived. They may have been very religious, but they did not have a relationship with God Almighty through a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. How many church people live life in religion and they neglect the relationship? How many church people live life in a fashion that they know God's law, but they don't follow it? That's something that's very near and dear as we see and go through our text. But also, another question I want to ask us this morning is this. Do we have any co-workers? Do not answer this, but do you have co-workers that say something to the effect that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament? Do you work alongside co-workers and say, I'm going to follow the New Testament God and not the Old Testament God? Let me tell you the truth. It's one and the same person. And we need to understand that, and that's exactly what Jesus is saying here within our text. As we don't need to neglect, don't need to overlook exactly what God's Word is referring to. In that, the Word that he's speaking of, the New Testament had not been written yet when Jesus stated this. So he's looking back at the Old Testament Scriptures. And a great knowledge is just as guilty as anyone. The Bible shares 66% of the New Old Testament, 66% of the Bible. So, theoretically, the messenger should be 66% of the time from the Old Testament. Yes, there's a loving God, a merciful God, a gracious God. But God is just. And judgment comes to those who disobey Him. Judgment comes to those who do not surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The judgmental things that we often look at and see within our text many occasions is because God Himself was saying that judgment comes. He brings judgment. Now listen to, we all know the story in the Old Testament, how Israel was sent to the Promised Land, and God gave them a stern warning through Moses, and He wrote Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. We often think, even the Israelites thought, well, we're going to go to the Promised Land because of how good we are. And many people, here's what many people say, the God of the Old Testament slaughtered many people. Let me tell you something, because of judgment. Here is the answer. Deuteronomy 9, verses 3 through 6, it says this. But understand that today the Lord your God will cross over ahead of you as a consuming fire. He will devastate and subdue them before you. You will drive them out and destroy them swiftly as the Lord has told you. When the Lord your God drives them out before you, do not say to yourself, the Lord brought me into this possession of this land because of my righteousness. Instead, the Lord will drive out these nations before you because of their wickedness. God had given them opportunity to turn to Him, but they rejected. They turned away. They didn't want to have any part of who God is. Now listen, continue forward, one very wise truth. We need to follow after God's word as well. You're not going to take possession of their land because of your righteousness or your integrity. Instead, the Lord your God will drive out these nations before you because of their wickedness in order to keep the promise that He swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you too are a sin people. Now, how does that have to do with everything we're looking at God's word today? God's amazing love, God's amazing grace is for every person. But if you reject it, judgment comes. And you will give an account. We all will give an account for every idle word, every idle motion, everything that we do and participate in. We will give an account for it. So it's of most importance that we not only know God's word, it's of most importance, James chapter 1, verse 22, that we be doers of God's word and not hearers only. Now, this is not something new that people look at the Old Testament and they think there's two different gods, when in fact it's one God. I want to introduce you to someone that you may have never heard of before. I know you've never met because he lived from 85 to 160 B.C. His name was Marcion. You see, this individual, and the reason we remember him very well is because he taught that the Old Testament was incompatible with Christianity. In fact, he took matters upon himself and said, I don't believe in the Old Testament because it's two different gods. So he wrote his own form of God's Word. He wrote his own form of the Bible. And he had a high following. He had things wrote down that would suit his way, suit what he thought God was. God was gracious. God is kind. Yes, that is true. But God is also a God of absolute truths. God is not judgment. We don't listen. And that's a very important message that we're going to look at this morning. A very important detail that we're trying our best this morning not to overlook. So I know one question that maybe comes and evolves from these. Is it okay for the New Testament to be what I live by and ignore the rest? And Jesus Christ, within our text, gave a big fat no about disobeying and not following after the Old Testament. Now I know, and we're going to talk about here in just a moment, that there's some things that Jesus fulfilled and that we're not going to follow after. We'll get to that here in just a moment. So big picture, big question, I want to ask this question this morning. How can we follow God's law? Number one, and you fill in the blank, it's found in the bulletin, is be aware. Be aware. You see, we need to be aware of what God's law is. We need to be aware of what God's instructions are. We need to be aware of what God's commands are. First question that really comes to mind is this, what is the law? What is the law? I want to use a New Testament scripture to tell us what the Old Testament law is. in that it encompasses every bit of it. We need to love God and love our neighbors. Love God and love each other. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, Jesus said this after he was asked, being tempted, "Teacher, which command of the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depends on these two commands." God gave instructions on how we're going to live. You see, God loves us enough to send his son down the cross for us to save us from our sin. But God also loves us enough, and I believe is where we are, in that we need to pursue after him. Why? Because he first pursued after us. And we need to be aware of what his instructions are. We need to be aware of what his instructions give us to follow. Then what do I need to be aware of? What are the things? What are some specific things that I need to be aware of? Many of Jesus' listeners, if you will, as we go through our text this morning, was against the official Jewish teachings of the day. They understood and they recognized the statement that Jesus made that the Pharisees and scribes were hypocrites. They understood this, that they said one thing and they did another. This is the truth that we as a church, we as God's children, need to adhere to. We shouldn't say one thing and do another. We shouldn't say we'd be there to help one another and then we'd never show up. We shouldn't say that we love God, but yet our life doesn't show that we love God. We don't live our lives in the fashion that we say we want to serve God, but then we're never there. We say we want to be where God wants us to be, but we don't show up. Let me share something with you. It's important for us to be aware of exactly where God wants us to be, where God wants to serve. Because God has a plan for every person in this room. Every one of you. God has a plan for you to make an impact in this world. And not be you making an impact. It be Jesus making an impact. But you're the one to be pointed to the Messiah. The one pointed to who Jesus is. You need to be aware of God's instructions. You need to be aware that everything, every choice you make, every decision you make, every place you go, you're being a representative of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And you'll notice this morning, I'm going to be speaking specifically to us as God's children. Because I'm firmly convinced that the world is looking at us under a microscope. The world sees our actions, our reactions, our words, our deeds, our everything. So you need to ask yourself the question, am I aware of God's word? Am I pointing to the Savior? It's kind of like this. When you're driving down the road, you better be aware of your surroundings. Kind of grabbed my attention early yesterday morning as we was going to Nashville to pick up my daughter, Andrew, my son-in-law. It's important. Paige's car, it has a little light that comes on somebody's side. It's a blind spot, a little light comes on. Now, I didn't start out driving that way. Daddy always saw when you keep down the road and look behind you at the same time. I don't know how you come with that. Because that blind spot can be hit you. But I mean to say that, if you're not aware of your surroundings, you don't see that person coming up going faster than you are, they can get to a point that your life and or their life could be in danger if you make the wrong move if you're not aware of your surroundings. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Be aware of what God's word is. God gave his instructions to protect you, to take care of you, to show his love for you. Be aware of that love and share that love with other people. Be aware of your surroundings when you're driving that car and be sure you don't make a wrong move. Because if you do, the circumstances can not only affect you and that person, but the people that know you, their families. Every choice you make as a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are not aware of your surroundings, you're not aware of God's word. You will be a witness for Jesus Christ. But what type of witness are you? Who are you pointed to in your choices, your decisions, the steps that you're taking, and everything that you do? Are you aware of the things and the steps that you take? Are you aware of the importance of every idle word that you say? Jesus said that every detail matters in the law. As we look at verse 18 of our scriptures, it says the smallest letter in just one stroke matters. If you're the King James, I know it says Jesus said this, every jot and every tittle matters. That's exactly the same thing as saying the jot is talking about the smallest letter in the Hebrew language, being a yod. Funny little, it's like a clock. He said it matters when you see that letter. And also, a little mark makes a huge difference. A Zion and a Vav in the Hebrew alphabet looks very similar without one stroke, with one stroke missing. The seen and the sheen. One is seen has a dot on one side, the sheen has a dot on the other side. But it looks identical. Without it, you don't know which one's talking about. The resh and the dalet look very similar. One's very slightly curved, one's straight. When it's in spot 12 point on it, you might not be able to tell exactly what it is. Why do you say all that? It's very similar in our capital B and our capital R. If you try to spell a word, you leave off a little line on R, and it's supposed to be an R, and if you think it's a P, you can say something that you're not meaning to say. What Jesus, big picture, what Jesus is saying, all of God's word matters. Every command given matters. And you and I and all God's children need to know that it matters. Moses knew it in his day. Jesus knew it in his day. That God's word mattered. Guess what? It matters today. We need to be aware of what God's word shares and God's instructions that are given to us. We need to understand that all of God's word, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. In other words, all of scripture is beneficial to us. All of it matters. Don't pick and choose what you'll follow. Don't pick and choose the steps that you think you should take. Many people in our society today think, well, what is good for you may not be good for me. Well, if it's not in God's Word, if it is in God's Word, you know what steps you need to take. You need to understand that God's Word is beneficial to each one of us. Number two, in our fill in the blanks, how to fulfill God's law. So we must be aware. Secondly, we must be obedient. We must be obedient. So like I shared with you just a moment ago, James 1:22, we must be doers of the word, not hearers only. Too often we're guilty of actually even reading God's word and not let it settle in our hearts and not let it change our lives. We need to be reading and doing and following after God's instructions. We need to be obedient. That's how we follow after God's word. That's how we ensure that God's word is real in our lives. You see, God's life is more than you singing and sitting at a worship service. You know, God's plan for your life is more than singing praises, though that's wonderful, that's great, and sitting and listening to a message. God's plan for you is more than just sitting and singing, or standing and singing when things stay on the promise. God's word is there for us to be obedient to, for us to follow after. Everyone in this room should read the book by Kyle Idleman, I believe. Not a thing. This big picture of the story is telling that God wants us to not be a spectator of the things going on around us. God wants us to be in the game. You are His child. You are His child. Think over that. Think about that right. You are His child. And He has a plan for you. And the only way for you to be fulfill that plan that God has for you is for you to be obedient to His word. For you to be obedient to His leadership. You to be obedient to His guidance. Because if you fail to follow it, you've sinned. Not before Greg, before God. The one who created you, the one that loved you enough to give His life for you, the one that provides for you, the one that sustains you, He calls for you to be obedient to Him. Have a reverence for a living and loving God. Do you this morning? Or do you allow yourself to chase after other things? Chase after something else. Chase after your hopes, your dreams. God wants you to have hope and dream. I shared this not too long ago. I'll share it again. John 10:10 says this. The thief that was still good to a lie has come to have life and have life more fun. God wants you to have a wonderful, beautiful, lovely life. He created light in us. We're in light up. You're enjoying it. Think about it. God wants you to enjoy His creation. He wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to have a happy life. And we have all people who are His servants. and not complain about it when we are caught in the middle of having to do something. Be obedient to it. Not Greg. I encourage you to hold Greg accountable. At least that's something that's not in God's Word. You show me. Hold Greg accountable. And I feel like that's what God called me here as pastor at First Baptist Church in Union Grove, to hold you accountable. To share with you what God's Word says and not to leave anything out. Because if I water it down, there's a judgment. I don't need you to water it down. But I'll be held accountable for the church that I've been. I've been. Just the same as the structure that you've been given. The steps that you're called to take. Be obedient. Now I know what your question is. Do I have to obey all the Old Testament commands? There's several within it that don't make sense to me. Let me tell you something. The answer is yes, but the answer also is that Jesus fulfilled some of them, and some of them are obsolete now because of what Jesus accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection we call the cross. So Jesus fulfilled some of them. The big picture, we'll quickly go through these, is this. Watch your heart. You see, the Old Testament includes three categories of law. There's ceremonial law, there's civil law, and there's moral law. We're going to look at those three real quick here in just a minute. The ceremonial law first. This law, this related specifically to Israel's manner of worship. Israel's manner of worship. For example, listen to Leviticus chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. See if you can catch on what's taking place here. Speak to the Israelites and tell them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord from the livestock, you may bring your offering from the herd of the flock. If his gift is a burnt offering from the herd, he is to bring an unblemished male. He must bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting so that he may be accepted by the Lord. The ceremonial law pointed to Jesus. We don't offer sacrifices on the cross, because the one that was the unblemished Lamb of God, named Jesus, fulfilled that prophecy. He gave it all to you. So that's a law, a ceremonial law, that we don't have to adhere to because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. The big picture, remember, the ceremonial law is about our worship. We should still worship God. We should still follow after Him. In fact, we're instructed in John 4:24, we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So it's important for us to remember this primary purpose here is to worship God. Spend time with Him. The ceremonial law developed man's relationship with God. Now I want to read to you some more verses of Scripture. Real quick, like Romans chapter 12. I know this is going to be a little long, but I want you to hear these verses of Scriptures talking about Christian ethics. We're going to read verses 9 through 21. It says, love must be without hypocrisy. It's speaking to the church here. Detest evil, cling to what is good. Show family affection towards one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be in agreement with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay evil to anyone for evil. Try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for His wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. I will repay. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. He is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing so, you will be eaten fiery coals of his. Verse 21. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. That's the life of the church. That's the Christian ethics. That's the church. That's the step that we are to follow. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? The answer is yes or no. There's not a middle of the road. Either yes you are, or no you are not. Are you following in God's steps? Is your yes, yes? Is your no, no? Are you in obedience serving Jesus through whatever He has in plan for your life? I know life is busy, I know life is tough. And are you following in obedience to Him? Next is the civil law. We'll pick up a pace just a little bit. The civil law, this applied to daily living among the Jews. Listen to Deuteronomy 24, 10 through 11. See if this kind of makes sense, or you think, well, what are we talking about here? When you make a loan of any kind to your neighbor, do not enter his house to collect what he offers as security. You must stand outside while the man you are making a loan to brings the security out to you. Now, I understand, and you understand, that life today and culture today is a little different than it was back then. The big picture of this civil law is talking about we need to develop our relationships with one another. We develop our relationship with God, and we develop our relationship with one another. And that's what the civil law is talking about. So we need to love God and love others. We stated that up front in Matthew, where Jesus said, when he was asked, what's the greatest? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and your strength. Do the same as like I do. Love your neighbor as yourself. Are you doing that? The moral law is the last one. The moral law, such as the Ten Commandments that we have right here. We see right here behind us. The moral law is our actions, our steps, our deeds, the things that we do. This requires strict obedience. This is what God is pointing. This is what Jesus is instructing. Obedience, as we see in our text, the Beatitudes. As we move forward in the next week, you're going to see where it says, you have heard it said this way, but I tell you. One of them being, as we give an example, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, do not murder. The fifth commandment. Do not murder. Honor thy father and mother. I'm sorry. The sixth commandment. Wherever it falls in the prayer. Do not murder. Do not murder. You think, well, that's pretty straightforward. But next week, as we look at relationships, we're going to see that Jesus expands upon that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22a says this, but I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. That brings a little more perspective into it. It's not just murder and taking someone's life. It's your attitude towards others. It's your attitude towards anger. It's your attitude towards someone who's belittled you, someone who has hurt you, someone who has wronged you. It's your attitude. Jesus said it's more important. So we focus upon our attitude. It's a condition of the heart. Well, we need to understand. We need, yes, to be obedient. There's instructions given in the law. Now I want to conclude this point by three statements that I read this week from John MacArthur Jr. It says this, the Bible is not a collection of men's religious ideas, but God's revelation of divine truth. The Bible's teachings are not speculations to be judged, but truth to be believed. The Bible's commands are not suggestions to be considered, but requirements to be followed. Will you be obedient to what God's Word says? Will you follow after Him? So how do I fulfill God's law? First, we need to be aware. Next, we need to be obedient. Third, we fill in the blank. We need to be genuine. We need to be genuine. In other words, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Being a follower of Jesus is being genuine. Period. Jesus' words, not grace. Surpass the religious. Step into the relationship. In that, the relationship is about doing things for one another. It's about when you're being persecuted to stand firm on the truth of the gospel. It's about when you're facing persecution, you stand firm in God's word. It's about when you're facing obstacles, God's not surprised by any path that we may go down, and He is sovereign, and He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He will sustain you through His will. Will you follow? Will you be genuine? Although the scribes and Pharisees were religious and tempted to be on very good behavior, Jesus criticized them for being hypocrites. Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." Now, if my wife was to answer this question, I hope she does, she would say, "Greg makes a mess around the home." And she'd probably go on to say, "When Greg cleans things, he doesn't do it all the way. He might leave a few dirty cups with your dirty dishes laid out once in a while. You can't mask dirt. You can't mask. You can't just clean the outside and leave the inside dirty. If you drink coffee, it's going to get stained. You better wash it once in a while." Look, Christians, sin is real, and we get stained. We can't just go up front. You can't trick God. You can't fool him. So you need to be cleaned from the inside out, not from the outside in. You cannot be cleaned from the outside in. It must be from the inside out through surrender to your Christ's Lord and Savior. You need to be genuine. You can't fool God. Church will be turned on to you. You can't fool one another. You can't fool one another. We may fool one another for a season. They will notice. We'll notice your attitude. We'll know your actions. We'll notice your steps. We'll notice your lack of obedience. We'll notice that you're pretending. Don't be concrete on that. Be clean on the inside out. Listen, that does not mean you will be free of sin. That means you will be free. That means you live forgiven. You can't trick God. He knows your heart. He knows where you're at. He knows your attitude. He knows how many hairs are lack thereof on your head. He loves you that intimately. He knows everything about you. Think picture about it. God proved his love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. Not further than this. That if it had been just you, he would have said, Jesus said, "I'll do it. I'll go to the cross. That's how much I love him." He would give his life on the cross for you. So we need to be genuine. You see, your righteousness, our righteousness comes from what God has done, not what we have done. Our righteousness comes from being Christ-centered, not self-centered. Our righteousness comes from our reverence of God, not approval by other people. Our righteousness comes from going beyond the law to loving the God who gave the law. You hear that? Our righteousness goes beyond our obedience to the law, but our obedience to the one who gave the law. Now, you may or may not know this song, but I just want to read the lyrics of this song for you this morning. It's more than anything. It's the name of the song. And it's written by Natalie Grant. Now listen to the words. "I know if you wanted to, you could wave your hand, spare me this heartache, and change your plan. And I know he said that you could take away my pain. But even if I don't, or even if you don't, I pray. Listen. Help me want the healer more than the healer. Help me want the Savior more than the Savior. Help me want the giver more than the giving. Oh, help me want you, Jesus, more than anything. You know more than anyone that my flesh is weak. And you know I'd give anything for a remedy. And I'll ask 1,000 more times to set me free today. Oh, but even if you don't, I pray. Help me want the healer more than the healing. Help me want the Savior more than the saving. Help me want the giver more than the giving. Oh, help me want you, Jesus, more than anything." Now listen to me. I want every eyes up here on me. I want everybody paying attention. I want you to listen to this word. I want you to look at me as if I'm singing, but I'm not. Praise the Lord. Oh, when I'm desperate and my heart is overcome, all that I need, you've already done. Oh, when I'm desperate and my heart is overcome, all that I need, you've already done. Oh, help me, Jesus, want you more than anything. Help me want the healer more than the healing. Help me want the Savior more than the saving. Help me want the giver more than the giving. Oh, help me want you, Jesus, more than anything. Oh, help me want you, Jesus, more than anything. Is that your heart's desire this morning? Does your life reflect that? Old Testament, new, whatever is God's word, are you pursuing after it because He pursued after you? Are you loving Him because He loved you? I want to ask you that this morning. Church, I'm talking to you. How does all this apply to us? Trust and obey God's word in a whole, as a complete, not just portions of it, not just the part that fits you. Listen to Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19. I testify to everyone who hears this prophetic word of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this prophetic book, God will take away his share of the tree of life and the holy city that is written about in this book. So, church, how do we fulfill God's law? Here's the answer. Be aware. We must be aware. We must be obedient. And we must be genuine followers of Jesus Christ. So the question I want to ask as we conclude, do you want more of Jesus than you want of anybody? Do you know the answer? I know you know the answer. Tell us in the room, you know the answer. Do you want more of Jesus more than you have? The answer is no. It can be yours for free gift. Romans 2:19 that says, if we confess our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our hearts that God raised from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart, then believe in the righteous. With the mouth, confession is made of salvation. Do you want Jesus more than anything? Because He wanted you more than anything. Church, does your life reflect that? You know the answer. Yes or no. There's no middle ground. I know you're a sinner saved. Great and all, cheap of sinners saved by God's amazing grace. Can say someone like me, can say someone like you, I promise you. We love you. Church, we're sinners. We're saved by grace. He gave His life for you, and let's live for Him. Let's live for Him. Let's make an impact in Union Grove, Alabama. Let's live for Him. Let's show this world, let's show this community that they are loved by the same Jesus. The God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament is the same Jesus. Let's live acting and showing to the world we want Jesus more than anything. We want Jesus more than anything. Talk to God. 9,000. As we stand at this, the number.
294.
Lord's help when we dismiss.
Church, did you hear what the pastor said today? Are you familiar with it?
Yes.
He called the homes to account.
He worried off. I said, "Won't the Lord please receive this time?"
Today, I am resigning as your music director here at First Baptist Union Grove. I'd like to say this, it has been an honor to serve this church.